Hello, this is Jean St. Peter with the commercial news. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined Celebrate, Then Go by Christopher Morical. One thing is clear. When it comes to Easter, there's only one topic to preach on, the resurrection. We share the resurrection with others, said Dave Anderson, pastor of the First Church of the Nazarene. We take light into a dark place. We go into the dead places of the world, and we bring resurrection. As the Apostle Paul said, Versinum, how they will call him in whom they have not believed. And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The resurrection story is the most important aspect of the Jesus story in the Christian faith. His rising from the dead on the third day did a couple of things. First, demonstrated his defeat of death. Second, it proved he was whom he claimed to be, God. We are the resurrection community, Anderson said. We are called to go, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. We have the gifting of the Holy Spirit. The story of Easter is not only to be celebrated by people who think the same thing, but the power of the story of the resurrection is we can go and share Jesus Christ. Anderson said his message will focus in on Mary Magdalene and her experience with the risen Savior when First Church opens its services at 10 a.m. today. He expects to title his sermon, The Power of the Resurrection. The church is located at 2212 North Vermilion Street in Danville. It's kind of ascending theme, he said. Easter is not just to celebrate. We celebrate, but then we go. Thomas Miller, pastor of the New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman, will have a very busy Easter morning. Celebrations will begin with a 6 a.m. sunrise service at the church. He'll then travel to an 8 a.m. service in Urbana before leading worship again at 11 a.m. at the Bowman Church. Like Anderson, Miller will focus on the resurrection. Most people don't really understand, Miller said. This event never happened ever in the history of man. A man died and then rose up from the grave. To believe that this is a very important part of our Christian faith. Miller continued with his gospel message. If we believe in the resurrection, we believe his resurrection. Because of what he did, we have freedom from the penalty of sin. And he pointed out that's for everyone who will believe. It's not for one group, Miller said. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's not for the Gentiles. It's everyone, no matter what skin, no matter what background you come from, no matter what you've done. If you believe in Jesus, it gives us a right to be free from the penalty of sin. And when we die, we will go and spend eternity with him in heaven. And where you spend eternity is the most important thing someone can ponder, according to Miller. Jesus Christ came to earth, God in flesh, and was crucified, Miller said. On the third day, that same person that was crucified, Jesus, rose from the grave. That is the whole point of Easter, to believe in the resurrection. Another article on the front page. Officials seek to stockpile measles vaccine by Grant Morgan. The U.S. is on pace to shatter the record of measles cases in any year since the disease was declared eliminated in 2000. While the nation's worst outbreak is occurring in New York City, Illinois is not immune, with 7 recorded cases of measles this year. That's already the highest number of cases in the past 6 years in Illinois, with the exception of 2015, when there were 17 reported cases. The state is one of 10 with reported measles cases this year. The disease's alarming reoccurrence, coupled with a growing tide of anti-vaccine messages, has led Illinois' largest public health advocacy group to take action. Tom Hughes is the executive director of the Illinois Public Health Association, which represents most of the state's local health departments and many public health employees. Hughes is in talks with healthcare providers, insurers, and vaccine distributors to combat the outbreak by restarting a part of the state's Vaccines for Children, VFC program, which in 2016 was discontinued for children enrolled in the state-funded Children's Health Insurance Plan. At the time, healthcare providers should have been using VFC vaccines only for VFC children, Hughes said. If a child was covered by private insurance, you wouldn't be using VFC. But, he added, there was no good accounting of what vaccine was being used for what child. So the state pulled the program and stopped providing the vaccines. The IPHA is requesting $3 million to support a previous Illinois Department of Public Health grant to purchase and distribute vaccines. Hughes said in an op-ed piece sent to Illinois newspapers, CHIP children who used to rely on the VFC vaccines now may or may not be getting their vaccines, he said. And while healthcare providers still are reimbursed by the state for the cost of vaccinating CHIP kids, some local health departments and pediatric doctors have stopped doing that due to the slow pace of state reimbursement and the large upfront cost of stockpiling vaccines. Pediatric doctors and local healthcare departments can't wait 6 to 8 months to get reimbursed, Hughes said. To help cover where VFC left off, Hughes's association is now looking to partner with vaccine wholesalers and distributors, such as FFF Enterprises, to stock providers' shelves with vaccines. The reimbursements from the state, when they come, would go through the provider back to the association. Hughes said, with the discounts coming from the association's partnerships and bulk buying, the model is expected to provide a long-term and sustainable supply of vaccine for providers throughout the state. Here we have measles back nationally in almost 600 cases, and that's just unheard of, Hughes said. I think we have to do a better job. We have to make certain that parents understand the safety and the need to prevent childhood diseases. Because state law mandates children be vaccinated to enroll in schools, Hughes said he hopes to get the program, along with a social media campaign, to combat anti-vaccine messages running by the late summer and in time for the start of school in the fall. Still, however, some Illinois children don't get vaccinations because of religious exemptions or lack of school enforcement. There's no reason for children to be delayed in getting back into school. We have a responsibility for that, Hughes said. And now for the community briefs. CSX Transportation will perform crossing repairs at Bowman Avenue starting Monday and continuing through the week. All work will require closure of roads and detours. The work is weather dependent. The road may be closed until Friday. For information, contact CSX Transportation at 442-0126. Benefit Game Set, a Memorial Co-ed softball tournament in memory of Jordan Buck, will be Saturday and Sunday, April 26th and 27th at Winter Park. Rain dates will be May 3rd and 4th. Concessions and bounce house will be available. Proceeds will go to Working Out PTSD, which helps veterans relieve stress, and the Perry Stegmeyer family, whose son has a form of muscular dystrophy. Entrance fee per team is $150. To sign up or for more information, call Joe Buck at 304-9353 or Bob Jurassic at 474-4091. A chicken noodle Dinner is set for 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. April 29th at the Masonic Lodge, located at 109 West North Street. The meal will cost $8. Bob Jones will make his bread pudding and other desserts. Delivery is available for orders of four or more meals by calling 446-7620 up until 4 p.m. and 446-9377 after 3 p.m. Proceeds go to the Central Illinois Dyslexia Center in Danville. And in Hoopston, the women of the First Christian Church of Hoopston at 502 East Main Street will host a Mostaccioli dinner and bake sale from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Friday in the Fellowship Hall. The dinner includes salad, garlic bread, mostaccioli, dessert, and a drink for $6. Carryouts are available. Nixing gun violence. It's a topic that most people don't want to acknowledge, let alone talk about, said Monica Beasley. But, she said, community members must talk about gun violence and how we, as a community, can come together to stop it, she added. That's why Beasley is organizing an event called On a Mission to Change the Dynamics of Our Fallen Youth, from 5 to 9:30 p.m. next weekend at the Palmer Arena. The April 27th event is free and open to the public. It will feature 13 speakers, including Champaign resident Morris Hayes, who served 17 years in prison for murder and has been working to help young people make good decisions since his release. Mary Catherine Roberson, who's with the Danville chapter of the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, and Pastor Daniel Offit, Executive Director of the Danville Rescue Mission. It will also feature live musical performances by soloist Danielle Finkley, Keisha Mays, and Ariana Kelly. Beasley said there will be information on a wide range of community resources. There will be a goodie bag for every participant and free giveaways, including t-shirts and gift cards. Beasley said she's been organizing the event to help community members overcome obstacles in their lives since 2013. This one is her eighth. There are a lot of broken-spirited people in the community, she said. They don't know how to deal with things in their lives, and things like poverty, a lack of education, and sometimes violence becomes their normal. I want to show them that there's a life outside of that because I used to be in their shoes, said Beasley, who overcame child abuse, dropping out of school, alcohol abuse, and abusive relationships to earn associate, bachelor's, and master's degrees while raising seven children. Now Beasley, an education talent search specialist with the Eastern Illinois Community Action Agency, is currently getting a doctorate in business administration. These speakers will have inspirational stories, she said. We want to show people that they have so much to live for, and there's so much more to life than taking one. And if we're all unified on this and start learning more toward loving and helping each other, we can change the dynamics of our city. Planting Memories by Carol Nichols. Finally, the days and nights are warmer, and it's time to begin to think about our gardening plans. My nearly 6-year-old granddaughter has been helping me plant our flowers every year since she was able to sit up and hold a plastic trowel. I would like to tell you I am an expert gardener, but really, it's only the hardiest plants that have a chance in my garden. Today, I usually stick to pansies and impatiens, with an occasional tomato plant if I'm feeling ambitious. Last year, I got wild and crazy and planted watermelon, but finally gave up when November came, and I still just had one baseball-sized melon on the vine. Sometimes geraniums and petunias are added to the mix in pots in front of the house if I buy too many for Memorial Day. Many people take great joy in creating beautiful gardens, and I take great joy in enjoying their efforts. But I probably wouldn't do what I do now if it weren't for Carolyn, my granddaughter. Our 2-year-old granddaughter, Joanna, so far just enjoys looking at the flowers while Grandpa pushes her in the swing, which is her primary outside activity, no matter how cold or wet it is. But as soon as it warms, Carolyn is ready to take a trip to buy flowers. Of course, now she's almost in first grade, so she may not be as excited this year. But I'm holding out hope because it has become one of our traditions. She picks out the colors and the kinds of vegetable plants we get. When we get home, we have to ponder the best location for each one. She gets her trowel out and her plastic watering can, and we dig in the dirt and plant the flowers and herbs and vegetables, and then we fill her can with water so she can water every one. She faithfully waters them every time she comes to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and Grandma feels the need to water them if they looked parched in between times. Just because Carolyn would be sad if they were shriveled up and brown the next time she came, hoping for a new ripe tomato to pick. There are many wonderful places to buy flower and vegetable plants in Vermilion County. Treasured Roots in Hoopston, Barry's Garden Center, and Danville Gardens at 1307 Clary Avenue. In Danville, they have garden plants with everything you need to create your garden and keep it healthy throughout the season, including experts to answer your gardening questions. Special events are offered to help you in your planting. Saturday, Treasured Roots is offering their spring open house, which will have treats and giveaways, as well as a presentation by Susan Biggs Warner from the Vermilion County Conservation District on gardening to encourage habitats for bees and butterflies. Danville Gardens is offering a succulent container class on Wednesday at 2 p.m. in Champaign at 1413 North Prospect. Get your tickets soon. The Danville class last week sold out. Register at Barry's this week to win a lovely lighted birdhouse from the floral shop. The winner will be selected on Friday. See the businesses' websites and Facebook pages for their hours and more information. Rediscover gardening in the Danville area this summer and plant some memories while you're at it. Carol Nichols is the Executive Director of the Illinois Small Business Development Center at DAC in Danville. She can be reached at 217-442-7232. And now for the death notices. Lillian Florence Cooley, 91, of Danville, died Friday, April 19, 2019, at North Logan Health Care Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, April 24th, at the Kruger Cohen Pape Funeral Home in Danville. Service will be at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home, with burial at the Danville National Cemetery. Jerry C. Spritzerbach, 87, of Covington, died at 3:25 a.m. on Friday, April 19, 2019, at Franciscan Health in Lafayette East at Lafayette, Indiana. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 1st, at the Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. Celebration of Life Gathering will follow at the Cayuga Community Center and DeVeter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. William Granberry, 90, of Danville, died at 3:28 a.m. Saturday, April 21st, 2019, at Grandview Manor Nursing Home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. Korea Robbie Moore of Indianapolis, formerly of Danville, died Sunday, April 14th, 2019 at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Monday at Sandhill Memorial in Danville. Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams Street in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Ethel Marie Williams, 88, of Georgetown, went to be with the Lord on Wednesday, April 17, 2019, surrounded by her family in her home. A celebration of Ethel's life will be at 1 p.m. Monday, April 22, 2019, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, located at 20 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from noon to 1 p.m. Monday, prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in the Forest Park Cemetery in Georgetown. Donald Richard Barnes, 84, of Danville, passed away Thursday, April 18, 2019, at the Champaign-Urbana Nursing Home and Rehab. A celebration of Don's life will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 23, 2019, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 1930 North Bowman Avenue, Danville. A visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Monday, April 22, 2019, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. He will be laid to rest in the Lutheran Cemetery in Danville. Rosemary Nixon Beitler, 91, of Danville, passed away Sunday, April 14, 2019, at North Logan Healthcare Center. Visitation will be from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Monday, April 22nd, at Kruger Cohen Pape Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville, with a rosary at 5 p.m. Monday at Kruger Cohen Pape Funeral Home. A Catholic Mass will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, April 23rd, at the Holy Family Church, 444 East Main Street in Danville, with Father Loftus and Father Ted Praz officiating. Burial will follow in Resurrection Cemetery. Hugh Brooks, 63, of Georgetown, died at 8:42 p.m. Tuesday, April 9, 2019, at home. Memorial services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday at First Church of Christ, 503 North Main Street, Georgetown. The services will be at the Rotved Funeral Service at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. John D. Cherry, 62, of Portland, Tennessee, went to be with the Lord on Thursday, April 11, 2019, at Summer Regional Medical Center in Gallatin, Tennessee. A memorial service for John will be held at a later date in Catlin. Gilbert Funeral Home, Portland, is honored to be entrusted with his arrangements. Online condolences can be made at their website. Lillian Cooley, 91, of Danville, died Friday, April 19, 2019. Funeral services were incomplete at the Kruger Cohen Pape Funeral Home and Crematory, 10 East William Street, Danville. Willie C. Harris, 88, of Urbana, passed away peacefully Tuesday at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Celebration of his life will be held Wednesday, April 24th, at the Salem Baptist Church, 500 East Park Street in Champaign, with visitation at 11 a.m., with services following at noon. Darren E. Hightower, Sr., 57, of Danville, died at 3:55 p.m. Monday, April 15th, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Visitation of the Marine Corps veteran will be held from 11 a.m. to noon on Tuesday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. Graveside services will follow at the Danville National Cemetery in Danville. And now, the fourth article in a series about small towns, big deals, entitled Learning Curve. Business may not be booming in a small community, yet it has top-notch schools, happy teachers, and involved parents. It's fourth hour at Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin High School, and students in one of the new Intro to Agriculture sections has just finished a quiz on swine breeds and terminology. Earlier in the week, they studied cattle. Next up, sheep. Tomorrow you'll have a worksheet and you'll be doing a sheep speed dating activity, substitute teacher Thea Gernard said. Adding the breed they choose will have only a few minutes to impress their dates with their origin and characteristics. You should call the activity, "Are You the One?" Senior Emma suggests with a grin, causing her classmates to groan. Now in its second year, the Cooperative High School launched its new Agriculture FFA program this past August, with nearly a 20-year absence at that formerly Bismarck Henning High School. Officials say it's off to a strong start with close to 50 students in three courses, including Ag Science and Ag Mechanics. 27 FFA members and Ag Teacher FFA Advisor Amy DeGroyler, who currently is on maternity leave, at the helm. Our goal now is to expand the program out to other students, said BHRA Principal Brent Rademacher. We want to show them all the career opportunities that agriculture has to offer, whether they decide to go on to college or directly into the workforce. While Bismarck hasn't had a bustling business district, a grocery store, or even a gas station for years, that has not kept folks from settling in this small northern Vermilion County farming community and the surrounding area. Whether a native or transplant, they said their main reason for doing so, the small town and rural environment and the top-notch schools, Bismarck Henning Elementary and Junior High and BHRA, made possible through a historic school district reorganization approved by the Bismarck Henning and Rossville Alvin voters in April 2017 and put into place that July. On its 2018 Illinois report card, BH Elementary, which had 345 pupils, received the exemplary designation, meaning it was in the top 10% of the schools in the state and had no underperforming student groups. The new rating is still based on students' English language arts and math proficiency, but more so on growth, as well as other indicators, such as chronic absenteeism and the school climate. The pre-K-4 school has always been in good standing, Principal Lisa Acton said. But the exemplary designation was above and beyond what anyone expected given the student and school loss as they lost their beloved principal, Laura Gerton, to cancer last spring, which took a heavy toll on everyone. I think we came off that loss knowing that our staff was able to persevere and continue doing what was best for the student, said Acton, who succeeded her friend and colleague. The high school, which had 342 students, and its two feeder schools, BH Junior High, which has 252 students, and Rossville Alvin Grade School, all received commendable ratings, meaning they had no underperforming student groups but weren't in the top 10%. The high school had a 97% graduation rate, and 79.3% of the ninth graders were on track to graduate. Going forward, school officials would like to bring back an industrial arts program to provide more opportunities for students who aren't college-bound and prepare them to step into a skilled labor job in the area. They also want to provide one-to-one technology at the high school and BH's lower levels. Danner said board members also have talked about one day building a high school sports complex. Currently, the girls' softball team plays at the park and the boys' soccer team plays at Rossville. This has been Jean St. Peter with the Commercial News. for April 22nd, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon.